All right, hello, welcome to episode 4 of the Ultra Bros.
That's us. Welcome.
We just, kind of finished reading week. One more day of reading week.
Well, when they listen to this, it'll be done.
Well, yeah, I mean, the time of recording is Saturday, so. Yeah. So that's that.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to get your perception. How did your reading week go? So we always talk about, you know, we want to try to maximize.
Yeah, reading week was a roller coaster ride.
Well, let's just start.
Last week, the whole focus, obviously I knew I had a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. To catch up and things like that. And so obviously the focus was trying to avoid procrastinating by kind of just giving myself a certain amount of time I would work in, and don't really focus on what you accomplish. Just if you say you're going to work on this task for 2 hours, just do 2 hours of work, and then whatever happens, happens. And that worked pretty well for most of the week up until, I guess, Thursday. Yeah, up until Thursday.
What happened Thursday?
I don't know. I think I just got exhausted for some reason.
Oh, yeah?
I don't even know why.
Just mentally, physically, everything?
I just got so exhausted that I woke up the next day and I don't even know. It was just weird. I couldn't do anything. Didn't want to do anything. Didn't care about anything anymore.
This brings back to my strong held belief on having the right mentality. Because the second you kind of have the I don't really care anymore, like, you know, doesn't matter. That's such a deep hole to
get
into.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
That's always temporary, right? It's always like you shake it off, but it's that thought is deadly, I would say.
I think it was more just confusing. I don't know. There's a lot of confusion. A bit of disappointment, because I feel like I put, I don't know, I think what happened is I feel like I put a lot of effort. I think I do, you know.
Yeah,
I might be lying to myself. I think I put a lot of effort.
I think that's fair.
For a lot of different things, right? Yeah. You know, school, running, meditation.
Yeah.
I put a lot of effort in all these things, you know, participating at home and stuff like that. And then I just got so discouraged because on, I think it was Thursday, you know, I think it was Thursday night. Really kicking Friday morning. I was just like, you know, I'm putting so much effort in this, and I really don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And I've been doing it it's not like I've been doing this for like a week, you know, it's been like months and months of this, of every day, you know, every single day.
Yeah.
And it's just so discouraging because like all the things, and I think the major discouragement was really the meditation.
Oh.
Because well, for
that's,
me.
Let's unpack that, because I think you've mentioned this a few times, and it's weird because I don't think there's a lot of people your age that meditate, but yet meditate for like a whole an hour and a half every day.
Well, I think
that's crazy. That's so unique. So I want to hear more about.
I mean, the big reason for that is I honestly, just like any person my age, who turns to meditation, it's usually out of desperation, right?
There's no way out.
Yeah, it's usually out of like you hit that point in your life where like what am I supposed to do?
Yeah,
and then you lose faith in so many things.
Okay,
then you're like, well, I guess I'll try, in whatever it is you're trying to do, invoke. Invoke a fairy, you know. I'm gonna spend hours trying to invoke a fairy, you know. Or doing, you know, because I feel like when you really start listening to all these meditation stuff, it's really crazy.
Well, I think your whole meditation thing and how you got into it, to where you are right now, it's a ride.
Like, well, I think that's part of it. That's a big part of why, Because obviously, I mean, when I start off, I think in our generation, everyone kind of knows about meditation, right? Generation before, I'm guessing you didn't really hear about it.
Yeah.
But now it's like it's pretty mainstream. Everyone really talks about it. And so, you know, if you ever wanted to sit down and start meditating, I think everyone already has kind of enough information to start.
Yeah.
Which is kind of my situation. Like, I never read a book on it. But I remember I was like, you know what? I just really want to start meditating. And so I just started, you know, like the classic everyone knows, sit down and count your breaths, right?
Oh, okay. Is that how you start?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, that was kind of what I don't know, you know, but
seems like step one.
But I was like, you know, it was a good start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, sat there, you know, 5 minutes, counting my breaths. Anyway, and then after a while, I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm starting it, but I'd actually like to know what I'm doing. Because I'm like, I don't even know, like, what's the goal? What is, like, the benefit here?
Well, something I noticed is whenever I'm with you and you explain meditation to somebody, whether it's, like, our parents or our younger brothers or, like, a friend, you never, like, I don't think you give it, you don't explain it very well.
Well, I don't really know what I'm doing, you know?
It's like, because every time you try to, like, talk me into, you know, this is meditation. I always come out of conversation.
Well, I don't try to talk anyone into it, mainly because.
But okay,
if you were to ask me, oh really? Like, what are the benefits? Okay, I'll be like, I don't know.
Okay, but so for the people that are heard of it, not sure how they feel about it, and want to kind of better idea of whether they should start, what's in it for them? I feel like you have a good outlook on that. Yeah, but you kind of maxed it out. You kind of.
Well, I mean, again.
What do you have to say to those people?
I can only talk about like why I got into it, why I'm still doing it.
Obviously, okay. Why?
I mean, again, going back to the thing that I was in a point in my life where I was so confused as to what I was supposed to do, right? And obviously, I was talking about that a bit in the first episode. Like, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I had no idea what I enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, who are you? I was like, I don't know who I am. You know, yeah. All these things. And before that, you know, I always kind of filled that gap with like books. So, you read a really interesting book character.
Yeah.
And then you try to shape yourself into that person. Which right.
Can
so
be dangerous. Sometimes.
So, yeah. So, I mean, people ask like, what do you want to do? It's like, well, what would Lord Jim want to do? And then you kind of do that. Right. This situation, how do I act? Well, how would Lord Jim or, you know,
yeah.
Mr. Well, okay, that's probably not good. But, you know, you just kind of fill that space in with a character and that kind of works for a bit. And then that kind of falls apart. So then you look for something else. So then you go to like, you know, you try to identify yourself with some kind of group. Mm-hmm. So then I got really into politics, you know, and I was like, huh, what would a person of this kind of political leaning do in this issue, you know?
Yeah.
And then my identity just became, you know, part of whatever kind of political movement I align myself with. And obviously that didn't lead to good things either.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then obviously there's just stuff like, well, you're just kind of supposed to do this because that's what guys are supposed to do. And then it's like, okay, you're supposed to do this because that's what you're fit, you know? So obviously none of that, all of that just made me like super.
Just confused.
Yeah, I don't think it put me in good situations at all.
So do you think that meditation has helped you with this?
Well, I turned to meditation because I think like a big part of, you know, when you hear these meditators, you read about them, something I always talk about is like, you know, you get to like your center or you get to your essence or you get to your higher self, your, you know, whatever that is. They always talk about how meditation helps you get a better relationship with who you are.
Right.
Understand who you are. And I was like, that would be great.
And so, okay, so the obvious question, obvious follow-up question is, what kind of changes? Have you felt that change? Do you feel like you can attribute some part of who you are right now compared to who you are a year ago to meditation? I feel like you can, and I feel like you don't like to. It's hard to pinpoint.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that's another thing with meditation is that it's one of those things where you can't really see, at least me, at the point where I am in my, I can't really see the progress. So like, it's not like in piano where it's like you can clearly, you know, it's like before you couldn't play the piece, now you can. Or like drawing, like before you couldn't draw the orange, now you can draw the orange. Or you know, all these other things. With meditation, it's not like I can tell you like, yeah, before I couldn't, you know, visualize this thing and now I can, you know,
Well, because you've definitely changed from, you know, over a year ago. You've 100% changed, and it's with your
outlook. But I think that's also because I've been doing so many other things.
Yeah, because it could also be running. It could be just, it could be a lot of things. So that's why it's tough to sometimes pinpoint.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't usually, like, that's why, I mean, I haven't really gone around to
something I have noticed
telling you what to do about meditation, you know?
No, I know.
Just because I know, if someone were to ask me, like, well, why would I want to do it? What are the benefits to you? I wouldn't be able to answer that. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm doing it because I'm trying to find some kind of, like, guidance in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, I don't know, some little angel will do that for me.
That would be convenient, yeah.
That would be pretty awesome, you know, to meditate one day and be like, oh, my God. Little Dimitri. You're gonna tell me what to do now? Great. You know, good. So it's what I want, you know, but I can't, you know, I don't know. But I think that's
something I have noticed really with you, is that meditation has, I don't know if it's, I'm assuming, I think it's an educated guess, but you're much more chill and laid back and forgiving.
But I think I mean,
more relaxed.
Again, that might be because of meditation. I think it's mainly because I'm just not as upset as I was before.
Yeah.
Before I was really upset a lot, and I'm sure a lot of people relate to that, you know? I mean, when you're living a life where you're like, you don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah.
You feel like you're being pulled in every direction. You have no idea where you're going, you know? You don't have faith in yourself or trust in yourself or confidence in yourself right. to do anything.
Yeah.
And if you did, you wouldn't know what to do. I mean, that makes you a pretty angry person. You know, I was a pretty angry, you know, I was just really angry. So obviously, like, if you're walking around hating yourself, being angry at yourself, you're not going to be super patient with other people.
Yeah.
Or be very helpful or be really calm. But I think the fact that I started doing, you know, like stuff like waking up, you know, early in the morning, exercising, you know, taking cold showers or eating healthier, you know, made me feel like I was more in control, made me feel like I was prouder. So I didn't notice that I'm not as angry with myself as general. Like before, you know, I was the worst person to be with.
Furious.
I hated. Yeah. I mean, I hate spending time with myself. But I definitely felt like that those emotions weren't as present. And I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm sure meditation had something to do with that, but I'm sure everything else did as well, you know? So was it mainly running? I don't know.
But something that's interesting that you said is that if you had to choose one between running and meditation, which is kind of like the big things right now that, that you've held on for a long, a significant portion of time,
mm-hmm.
you said that you would drop running.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like obviously meditating. Doing a lot of things, but if I was in an environment where I could only do one thing, I would stick to meditation just because...
It's just interesting to me. I would have thought I'd been running.
Well, because to me, you know, the running, I feel like the gains you can get from that, you know, you can kind of understand them. You know, like you'll obviously be in a lot better shape.
Yeah.
You'll be proud of yourself. You'll have greater like mental strength after you do like ultra.
You're healthier.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're prouder. You're, you know, more in control.
Adversity. Yeah, absolutely.
And so obviously those are amazing things. But, you know, when you hear about what could happen if you dedicate yourself to whatever form of meditation, and that's the other cool thing is like, there's no one, there's so many that all do the same thing. But if you, you know, like when I read, and I think that's always something I've kind of been interested in, like all this mystical stuff from the past, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like when you read up, like on what, like, you know, these modern meditators, even like older meditators, when they read about like their experiences and things that meditation has led them to discover, then it's like, well, it seems like it's, I mean, obviously part of it, it's like, it's infinite what you can do with it. You know, it's not, I mean, really like the gains you can get from it sound like they're boundless.
Right.
You know, just like the crazy stuff they talk about, like it's just normal, you know, like, you know, they drop the word immortal. it's nothing. Yeah, immortality of the soul, complete expansion of consciousness.
Okay, but here's the thing. You say it, and you say it in a joking manner. But part of you, I know...
Oh, I'm totally serious.
Oh, God.
100%. But, no, I mean, I wouldn't spend so much time in it if I thought all these people were full of it, you know, full of it. If I like, you know, I mean, which I do believe a lot of them are.
I feel like it has to be a portion of them that just.
But the thing is, I don't follow a lot of people. I have like one meditation book that I'm reading, and I don't like. I don't have social. You know, we don't have social media, so it's not like I follow the New Age stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think New Age stuff is a load of trash.
Put it lightly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stuff is terrible because I think that actually takes advantage of desperate people, like me. For sure. I mean, yeah, really, that's I think that's a whole business that's
just looking
for that's a way run out. Literally on feeding off young kids.
Yeah.
So kind of what I'm into, it has like, you know, there's no like following for it, there's no like groups about it, there's no like identity around it.
You just kind of do your thing.
You know, you just kind of do your thing. Yeah. Really, it's all about like, yeah, here's a meditation practice. Now, just like anything else, the more you do it, the more time and effort you put to it, the more you're going to get out of it. Just and then true that's for it. And then, yeah, exactly, which is true for everything. Unlike all the other, you know, especially the New Age stuff, which they will lead you down like a terrible, you know, they'll like suck you into, you know, more stuff you need to get to, more classes, like initiation rituals, you know, these group stuff. All this crazy information you still need to learn, you know, like all there's like all these different people you need to go and need to become your teacher. Whereas this one, it's like all I can give you is here's this practice, and there's nothing else I can give you.
Yeah,
there's nothing else I can do you.
Up to you.
If you contact me, there's nothing I can do for you because the only thing that will be of any benefit of you is go lay down on the floor and breathe and do like this visualization, right?
Right.
Which for me, I liked because
it's simple.
Well, I mean, you don't feel like anyone's taking advantage of you, other things, you know. Because at the end of the day, I mean, what you do is you spend. I mean, I bought the book for $10, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing else. There's no courses. There's the
Say the name of the book.
Yeah, So the name of it is called. The book I'm using, it's actually, wait, let me look at it. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head. I do, but I don't know the. So it's called High Magic.
Yeah.
And it's a guide to the spiritual practices that saved my life on death row. And so it's what it is. It's this person who was Damien Eccles,
the author,
who was unjustly. Put on death row he ended up being on death row for all 18 years. Out of those 18 years, he spent 8 years in solitary confinement, and obviously, I mean, any normal human being would have gone insane and died in those situations. And so he was locked in this cell, they proved his innocence 18 years later. He got out, and then he wrote a book about the stuff he did while in jail that to keep him sane. And obviously he talks about like all the things that happened to him, like consciously, like to his consciousness during his practices. But at the end of the day, he's like, here's the practices I did, you know, over and over again for who knows how many thousands of hours.
And it just kept
me stuck there.
Kept me all
and that's it. You know, there was no, I didn't sign up for anything because obviously he couldn't. I didn't, there was nothing. There was all just me.
Yeah.
These practices and repetition, right? So he just gives you this book about these are the practices, and then he's honest with you. He's like, you know, this will work for me. If you go do them, you know, expect benefits if you put the time and effort.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I would really like this to work for me. So I put a lot of time. Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, I think I put effort, you know, it's hard sometimes.
I think it's all good, right? Like my, how I look at this is like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You're just extra relaxed, you know, it's like, it's
really I mean, that was at the beginning. I was like, you know, if none of this is true.
Yeah.
Then the very worst thing that I'm doing is I'm spending an hour laying on the floor, you know, breathing, I'll get good at focusing. Like, you know, I'll get good at, let's say all the meditation stuff is all a load of, you know,
Yeah.
Then that means that, you know, the time I'll put on it won't be completely lost, because, you know, when I sit down to do some schoolwork, I might be a slightly more focused, you know, just from that practice of trying to focus during meditation. Yeah. So now, obviously, I do believe the stuff he talks about in the book are real, or at least I want to, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is why I spend time doing it. But, you know, but I'm sure that's, you know, I'm sure it's part of it. You know, you put the time and effort, you get totally discouraged, mm-hmm. you kind of fall apart. And then, you know, I think you just kind of accept, well, like, you know, I'm at this point right now where
you do your best.
I put, I think, a lot of time, you know. I'm sure if I went
You definitely do. Stop talking like you 100% put
anyway,
so much time.
And I thought, I guess deep down, I thought that by now I would have, something would have happened that would have made me realize that the time I put into it,
worth it,
was, you know, leading me somewhere.
So something more clear, I guess, is what you want.
Yeah, you know, I guess like something that's like, oh, that didn't happen before. You
something,
know?
Yeah.
You know, like that's new. That it'd be like great, that's, you know,
if some wizard just came down, tapped you on the shoulder and was like, congratulations, welcome.
So yeah, I mean, obviously that would be ideal. I mean, honestly, it would. That would be great if like some Merlin guy shows up and I'm like, oh, I've been waiting for this. I actually am. But you know, but so it's, I guess it's just like anything, you know, you put time, you're like, how is this not working? You mm-hmm. kind of fall apart. And then you just kind of accept that, you know what, the only way that's going to change is if I go back to it and I keep putting a few more months, mm-hmm. you know, of work. And yeah, but it's kind of annoying. I mean, it's kind of annoying. Yeah. I think, I don't know, another thing for me lately, like the past few days.
Tell me.
I've been a lot like, what the are we doing? You know, just in general.
Well, you brought this up and I thought it was really funny. We talked about like, you got really deep. You just came out of my room, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. And you just told me about how, you know, life is crazy. How the idea that you're kind of living in your own kind of movie, and you're leading through your life, and these people just intersect into your life, but they're living their own life. They're the lead character of their own movie, and we seem to be just
Well, I'm sure,
parallel,
and I'm sure people get those weird moments where like you're sitting next to someone and then you realize that person is an actual human being. Just, you know, but I know it's stupid, but it is kind of real. You know, I'm talking to you, but a lot of times it's, you know, I feel like if you take the moment to kind of literally be sitting where you are right now and you look at me, like right now I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Right. That's and right true. Now, like I'm like the only thing that's real. Right. I think. And then you're like just, you know, my brother that's just there.
I'm just there, yeah.
It just so happens at this moment, as we're speaking, you are sitting in this chair.
That's true.
But then it's like, technically, our roles are reversed, you know? You're seeing me. Anyway, I just thought that was a weird thing to think that we're all human beings. There's a lot of times, me personally,
yeah,
I feel like I'm the only person and everyone else is like, just like some person that's there.
Yeah.
But then it's like, no, you have like your own things going on.
It's true.
But no, I think a lot of it was a few days. I'm like, I was here and I was literally so confused with like, what the am I supposed to, like, what are we all doing? You know?
Yeah.
We're going to school. Most of us studying a degree that we don't enjoy.
Well, okay. Actually, I'm going to pause you right there. Recently, I'm working on a few fun projects for my program, and recently what's been happening is that I've been going to bed or I've been waking up and I've been getting kind of excited about my day, because I start that's to think cool. about, and this is something that's new, relatively new, that's been happening, because this is something, you know, especially during my undergrad, this would never happen. It's always, you know, dreading studying and everything, or projects, but this is kind of the first few times where I started to become conscious. I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to work on this project. Like, this is, I'm like, I'm excited for this work. Obviously, it's this.
Do you think that's because you're starting to get good at it? Or do you think it's because you actually enjoy it? Or is it more that thing like competence makes you enjoy it?
I think there definitely is a balance to it. I think for anything to be enjoyable to a certain degree. You have to, you know, excel at it. Nobody, it's not fun to suck at something, to be, you know, not the best in something, or something where it's, you know, you're not naturally good in, right? It's I think it's always very important to play to your strengths, you know, to see what makes you unique, what sets you apart, what's your unique, competitive advantage, if you will, relative to other people, and how can you leverage that into...
Yeah, but I feel like that's like a business student talk.
No, well, I think this applies to everything. I think...
Find what your profitable talent is.
No.
Take advantage of your profitable... No. Make money.
But it's like for you, like what's your competitive advantage? What would you say is... Because everybody's different.
Yeah, but I don't really think of it that way. You know, I'm more like, what does little Valentin like to do?
I think we're saying
what
the
makes
same
little
thing.
Valentin happy.
I think it's a combination. What are you good at? And that's a.
I think it's really interesting.
What you love doing? What's interesting to you? What can you
I think it's
talk
really,
about?
But I think it's interesting because I remember when you started off in this analytics program. Mm-hmm. I remember when I heard about it. When I heard about you getting into this master's for analytics, mm-hmm. I remember my thought was that you were getting into something that like you didn't really know what you were getting into, right? Because
kinda like
you didn't
science,
have any background that was similar to what you're going into it. So it's not like you knew, it's not like you did an undergrad in philosophy and then you're doing a master's in philosophy. You know, you know kind of what you're going into. Whereas you really had like no background, you had no learning of any kind related to this.
Yeah.
So to me, you were excited about it because it was
new.
It was new. You got into this program that was like first time ever. First time they have this, like this is the first year they have this program. You know, so it's like excite. You know, let's be honest. Like, you know, when you get into something that's like totally novel, you're pretty excited about it, right? Yeah. And then you find reasons why you want to do it. And I remember you describing things like you're saying, I just think the ideas of analytics are so cool. And in my mind, I was like, okay. Is he saying this because, you know, just like any other human being, he needs to justify his decision to feel like safe?
Yeah.
Or is he genuinely interested? Because at the end of the day, you don't know what this is, right?
That's true, yeah.
So I thought, obviously, I didn't think you were making a mistake because you're getting a master's degree. So obviously, I thought like that's pretty incredible. But in my mind, I was thinking like, what is actually appealing to him? Is it appealing because... it's similar to, you know, what other people have done that you admire?
Yeah.
Is it similar because it just sounds really cool? Like to me, so many things sound really cool, you know?
Yes. Especially for us. I think we're very curious.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
So we can get interested in a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's important.
I can watch, you know, movies or documentaries and one day I'll be like, oh shit, I'll be an archaeologist.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's like, I'll be a physician.
Yeah.
The next day is like, I've got to go study chemistry, you know, because all this stuff sounds so cool.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking like, is he like going through that too?
Yes.
But then I know that the beginning, like the first year, which I guess you're like finishing up now, it was like a lot of new stuff, right? So you're telling like this, but like this was the first time
for
the past few days that I heard you like genuinely excited about what you're working on. And so I was thinking, okay, so clearly it seems like some of it is making you happy, right?
Yeah.
So I was wondering, is this making you happy because he's competent at it? Mm-hmm. Which to me would mean that you can find happiness in anything you do as long as you put time to it and you,
develop the skills
and then that'll make you happy. So it's in your position where you, the only option to do is to go, I don't know, learn how to, I don't know.
Scuba dive.
But let's say it's like, oh, but dad, I want to be like a painter.
Yeah.
But then like that kind of frame of mind is like, okay, well, get really good at scuba diving. And once you get very competent at it, you'll start loving scuba diving. Yeah. Right. So that was like my first, like, is that what's going on here?
Yes.
Or then obviously it could be a thing like maybe this generally is something that before you even knew about analytics, it was something that would make you happy.
Yeah. That's a really,
you know, so it's like, I was trying to figure out, because again, I feel like the answer to that could have really because let's say the answer to that is just competence, 100%. You start getting really good at it, and so you start having fun, then that would change a lot of how I think about things, right?
Oh, really?
Well, because then it's like it doesn't matter to meditate and discover who you are, right? Yeah. Just choose something and do it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I really like that because I think, I'm reading right now about Rockefeller, and a big thing that big takeaway.
I don't know if everyone
knows. Oh, sorry, yeah. Rockefeller was oil titans. He basically, at one point, was the richest man in the world around the late 18th, 19th century, late 18th century.
Late
19th century, yeah. Anyways, a very impressive story, a very unique story, everything that happened. But essentially, so, you know, a very successful person, naturally, towards the end of his life. And one of the, you know, you kind of read through this and try to pick up on certain themes, and it's well written, so it really goes in depth. But one of the things is, whenever he took action, and this was similar with other books that I've read, this is similar to Roosevelt, when I read, whenever he did something, how the biographer would write about it, it seemed like they would make sure, right, these characters would make sure that whatever they were doing, whatever they were focusing on, is they let it consume them. Essentially, that would be their singular focus, and they were so driven on ensuring that they would do the best job they could on being the most competent they could on that one singular task. You know, Roosevelt didn't start off becoming a president. Theodore Roosevelt didn't start off becoming president. He had a bunch of these, you know, tasks. He was a police commissioner at one point. He was a scholar. He would write books. But everything he did, he would make sure to do it at a certain degree, to the point where, in a certain amount of time in the practice, to a point where, you know, he would make sure he'd be really good. So I definitely think that's an attribute to someone enjoying something, being happy. You know, it's important to be good at something for you in order to really like it. And I think your question is, what comes first?
Well, what I'm wondering is, like, is it more of a case? You know, I guess I'm sure there's more than one way to look at it, but I guess the two ways I'm looking right now is, it you go around trying different things, you know, you go around experiencing different things, and then you find that one thing that doesn't feel like work, you know, and then you dedicate yourself completely to it. But it's like, even though there's a lot of time, obviously it still takes as much time and effort to get up to a level of competence and success. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more something you like, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to spend the time doing this, right? Yeah. Or is it more of a case that you go around doing different experiences and then you choose one thing, you just choose it for, you know, societal reasons, for family reasons, for reasons for environment, for whatever reasons you happen to choose that thing. And then you start off, you put a lot of time, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't enjoy it, but it just sucks. But it starts getting enjoyable once you get good at it, you know? So it's more that idea, like, and I think it just comes down to, you just choose anything, except that the many years that it takes to master it, you know, mm-hmm. Will suck, because, or maybe you have like a good mindset and you just like, you know, that's good, the whole learning. But at the end of the day, it's like, you just have to put the work in, and then eventually you start really enjoying it when you get competence level. Or is it that thing like, you know, I always knew I want to be a painter, and then you just work towards that until you get good?
I don't think it's close to impossible to come with an answer, but
that's what I was curious. I know, obviously, we can't talk about Roosevelt for that, right? Because, we don't know. Maybe Roosevelt, but that's why I'm curious about, like, I don't know if you thought about, like, what you're going through right now, right? Because at least that, if you can't talk about your own experiences, then you can't really talk about anything,
so,
right?
So I'll tell you.
So that's why I'm not really interested in, like, Roosevelt or Rockefeller, but I'm more curious, like, why do you think you started enjoying doing this?
Yeah, well, I think, I'll start with the beginning. To your point, when I first got into the program, I definitely had my doubts. I know I was very nervous because it was very new, and I knew there was going to be some programming, and I had a bad experience of that in first year. So that taste was still in my mouth. And I knew there was going to be something very new, but I was very excited because it is, you know, I think it's very true that this is a very exciting industry, and it's becoming ubiquitous. and basically every industry and every company could benefit from some aspect in analytics. And I think there's you know, you read articles and it seems pretty convincing, and I think that's really the direction where, you know, the whole world is going. And I think there's a lot of good to that, but I think it's obviously there's some concerns, and some rightly so, but I think we'll deal with that. And I think to some point it's inevitable. So I definitely, going to this program, I got very excited, but it was very nervous because I didn't know if I had the skills, if this was aligned with, you know, one of the things that always concerned me is that maybe I wasn't suited for this. Like maybe there's an underlying truth that, well, maybe I'm just a business student. Maybe I'm just more of a person who talks, you know, maybe I'm more of a marketing that side. But I think that never appealed to me. I never always thought that I never just want to be the guy who just talks and comes with ideas. I wanted to be able to, you know, be a member of each component. I'd like to have a wholesome picture of how each aspect of, you know, an organization or, you know, project works. I wanted the technical and the not so technical side, and be almost, you know, be able to understand both worlds, and, you know, leverage them. So I think that was where a lot of the excitement came from, but obviously very nervous. And the first term went well. I think it went very well, and I learned a lot. But there's definitely some parts of it when I had no idea what was going on in the lecture, and I had to really force myself to, you know, just teach myself. And I think that's kind of one of the fun things about the master's is a lot of self-learning. And if anybody else is out there that's been considering a master's, I'd absolutely encourage it, because I think part of it is that it's, if you really if you're a curious person, if you enjoy learning, and this is a topic or that you feel like would really interest you, then, you know, this where there's no better opportunity, where this is your singular purpose is to become a master essentially in this topic that you desire. So I think I really took advantage of that. And why I'm getting so excited now is because I think in my head, when I pictured analytics, the idea was, you know, you're able to get some, go into, you know, the internet, find a data set, and then from that data set, from scratch, solve a problem. So to me, that was the appeal. Like, that's
why that, is that interesting to you?
Well, first of all, I think being able to solve problems, I just like the idea of making things better. I think that's kind of underlying trait of me being maybe a perfectionist, or me just enjoying the making, you know, making better decisions and being certain. You know, I think that's one thing I think is true, is that as humans, we're always searching for to bring more stability, bring more certainty in our lives. I think analytics is a way of doing that. And also the fact that I think it's very cutting edge. You know, it's, you know, pushing so many different industries into new territory. And I think that's something I want to be part of, because, you know, life is long, and I think this is only going to grow more. And it's something that I'm really passionate about. So, yeah, so I guess I just went for it. And then I guess just this term now, we're doing more projects of where it's basically, you know, there's a general vague theme, and you go and solve it, right? So they give you a general guideline, and then, but you have the free will and the free reins to do whatever you wish for. Rather, in the first term, it was more like, you know, here's a data set that you have to work on. Now, we want you to do this, this, and that, and then solve it. Now it's more like, just solve it, you know? Think of a problem, and then use the tools you have and do some research. And if you don't have them, go find them, and then solve it. So I like the idea, and I like how it's, you know, really pushing you to be resourceful and to, you know, come up with whatever you can, and pushing to be creative. There's a very creative side to it, which I think I can really appreciate. Not just technical. So I think there's a lot of things, and I think I could talk forever about this, but that's just a little kind of grain from of what I think on it. And I'm happy I've done it. I'm getting really excited. Can only expect what's gonna, hopefully it all ends up going well this term, but so far so good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But thanks for you. But I think, you know, on your question of, you know, what should you focus on, you know, something you're competent, something you like, I think obviously part of that is it shouldn't require that much thinking. I think one of the truest things that I think the only sure thing in life is that the only permanent thing is change. Which I think I read somewhere in a book, and I always stuck with me because I thought, how true is that, right? That's the only thing you can depend on. So I think that's something that you, as long as you appreciate that, and acknowledge that, then I think that's almost a liberating feeling, because now you acknowledge that whatever you go into, where you decide to invest your time in, that doesn't have to be the rest of your life. Yeah. You're more than capable of deciding at some point that, you know, this doesn't make me happy anymore. And you have every right to shift to something else, right? You have one life, right? It's important that you make the decisions that benefit you. And I think that's something that I had a lot of issue with when I was a kid. I think there's a certain importance to being selfish, to look at, you know, what would make me happy. Because it's your life in the day, you know, you're going to live and then you're going to die, right? So it's nobody, your neighbor isn't going to care if you're unhappy or if you're enjoying your life or how much money you're making or, you know, your life decisions, right?
That's another thing that's kind of crazy.
Tell me.
We will die.
We will die. What are your thoughts on mortality? Like, you know,
I think just the whole idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just that we will die.
Yeah.
And,
but does that make you sad or does that make you kind of, because it doesn't make me sad. It makes me excited for life. It makes me thinking, like, well, there's so much more riding on this.
Yeah, like, I think it makes you realize how much more serious it is what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think, and that's something that I know I never really thought of before, mm-hmm. but to think that, you know, because obviously you think you have so much time. I mean, we do. I mean, if we're going to live until we're 80, you know, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I guess, maybe not. I don't know. but, yeah, it's the whole idea that, you know, if you mess up, no, decisions you make are permanent. Mm. And they really are permanent. If you decide to do something with your life from the age of 20 to 25, that's permanent.
Yeah,
you can't change that.
But okay, so I think that, but you have to be careful thinking like that, right? Because I think part of life is, you know, making mistakes and trying things, and, you know, failure, I think, is talk about a topic I think should be less of an uncomfortable topic. I think it's nearly impossible to go through.
It's not even failure. It's even success.
Okay.
The whole idea is just that it is permanent. Let's say you went through, and the next 10 years, you decide to dedicate yourself to developing like a good car sales company, and you're very successful at it.
Sure.
You know, so in the next 10 years of your life, you're very successful. Whether you fail, that's not really matters. But the whole idea that those 10 years, those decisions are permanent.
Oh.
Your decision to do that, out of all the infinite things you could have done,
yes,
you could have spent those next 10 years trying to become an explorer of Africa.
Yeah.
You could have spent those next 10 years trying to, you know, learn every language in the Philippines.
Become a professor.
You could have spent those 10 years learning how to art. You could have spent those next 10 years meditating in a cave. You know, all I'm saying now, and you could have been successful at all those things.
Yeah.
You know, you could have.
Yeah.
Technically, I mean, that's what they convince us to believe. Right, that you can be successful whatever you choose to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Or you could have failed all of them. But the whole point is that if you do that over 10 years, that decision has now become permanent.
Yeah.
And out of the infinite things you could have done,
yeah,
that's what you chose. Okay. Out of the infinite things you could have done, that was the permanent, you know, it's like it's past. Those 10 years, you did that, you know?
Yeah. That's, you know.
So it's like at this point in our lives, if, you know, all this meditation stuff is to be believed, or even, you know, it's not even meditation related. It's just, I guess, it's just common sense. But at this point in our lives, or at any point in your life, the future really is full of kind of limitless possibilities.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky to be healthy. So right off the bat, that grants us enormous opportunities.
Absolutely, right?
Because pretty much every job is
open to us. What do they say about health? The health is the invisible crown that only sick people can see.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that is true. Also, but think, in another, but see, because yeah. like right now, just the fact that we're healthy, like physically healthy,
yeah.
means if we want to become astronauts, you know, we could put ourselves in a regimen where we get enough shape or do the studies, you know, go into engineering, go into astrophysics or whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
Do that. If you also want to become a deep sea diver, we probably also have the physical ability to do that. You know, I'm saying, so at this point in our lives, we really have the, I mean, we really do have the option, if you're willing to put the effort into it, but we really have the option to do all the things. Like, we can't be in a position where we can say it's literally impossible for us to go spend the next 10 years, you know, traveling Papua New Guinea, you know? If not, but I'm being serious. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. if we wanted to do that, we could go work for 2 years, live like homeless people, you know, save every dime.
Yeah.
We have, I mean, you know, that's pretty easy for us. We're young, we don't have dependents.
Theoretically.
And then, no, but I'm just, not even theoretically. I mean, if you really think about it, it's not that complicated. All no. the thing is you have to make that decision. So I'm saying, so that's a crazy idea, but that's totally possible. What's something else? I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying is at this point in our lives, we can really make, again, at any point in our lives, you can look for it and you can really decide to make anything out of it.
But so I think this is where
it again, becomes... unless you're, you know, you have certain things that really do limit you. Like if you're, you know, I mean,
yeah, so I get that. So I get that. But I think it's
in important. Our positions, I feel like we pretty, you know, so, yeah. but it's just crazy that even though right now we have all the options, we'll end up only taking one and then that is permanent.
Yeah. Okay. But okay. So
I just think that's just kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying it's just crazy.
That's true. That's true. It is pretty crazy.
Like I'm not saying like that means don't do anything. That means go do something crazy. I'm just saying I never really thought of that.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, that's, I just, I mean, I could be totally wrong, you know. But I'm just saying.
No. Just think about that. It's true that
you seems pretty crazy.
Theoretically, do anything. I would just say that. Yeah, sure, you can do anything in the world, but you know, I think there's only a few things in life that really make you happy, right? Where the outcome would be, it'd be worth, you know, the maybe not so pleasant path to invest your time in. And I think, you know, you can obviously, there's different paths you can choose, but I think as long as you pick the path that you think is worth it to you in terms of the amount of work it will take to get to the, you know, desired outcome, I think that path is worth it. And I think for a lot of people, those options aren't infinite. I think it's very clear as to, you know.
But there's definitely a lot.
There's definitely a lot.
Definitely like more than you're capable to do in one life.
But I think between you and me, I think I don't know about you, but I think I have a pretty good idea of certain paths where the outcome would be worth the amount of work I'd be willing to put in for, you know, that outcome.
But what about you?
Do you know? Do you feel like you know certain things that would? Because I feel like sometimes you get the impression that you're more of, you're not sure.
No, I mean, I think for me, you know, I'm sure it's one of those things that looking back, you know, 30 years from now, I'll be like, oh, it made so much sense, you know, that I had to go through that and I had to do that.
You know?
And I guess, you know, I guess no matter what happens, you'll be in that position.
Right? Yeah.
Literally anything. But I think for me, I guess, I mean, part of it is, you know, part of me wants to believe that we all have something we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I guess, I guess that goes back to, I believe in...
Do you believe in destiny or like faith? Is that...
I don't really think about it because I feel like that complicates things. Because I think destiny adds in the whole idea that it's like you almost can't fail.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Destiny puts in the idea that this is your destiny, you know? No matter what you try to do, it will come and find you.
Yeah,
you know,
so you can
try to run away, it'll find you. You know, which is obviously fantastic. I mean, I really wish that were true.
Yeah.
I don't believe it is.
Okay.
I think everyone wished that was true. Because wouldn't you love to go to bed knowing that you had an incredible destiny,
mm-hmm.
and that no matter what you did, it was going to come, you know? Because that's the whole point of destiny. The whole point of destiny is not a game.
Yeah.
destiny is inevitable, like, yeah. You know, or fate. That's,
yeah,
that's, I mean, that's the definition, yeah. You know? Now I don't believe in that. I don't believe in destiny because I do believe, now before I did, mainly out of desperation, sure. You know, because I felt like such a loser and everything that I had to believe in, you know, because if I didn't believe in destiny, then, you know, so that was my way to kind of console myself. I was like, it's fine, Valentin, you know, you have a destiny,
right?
Someone, something will come along.
Yeah.
No matter how, you know,
yeah.
Whatever happens, it will fix this.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously that was a desperate kid.
Sure.
So I don't believe that anymore. Mainly because I believed that for so long. It's, you know, sorry. So obviously I don't think that's true. But I do wonder, well, again, not that I do wonder. I generally, I want, and I guess this is just my desperation taking on a different shape.
Sure.
You know, before I felt the need to grasp onto like an idea of destiny and I felt I had to believe in it. Then it's like, obviously there was just too many things happening in my life that I couldn't believe that, you know? And so then it changed. It became a bit more tame. It was like, well, you don't have destiny, but there is something that you are supposed to do, mm-hmm. right? There is a calling, or there is something that you are uniquely endowed to do. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to discover that,
yes.
And to develop the skills,
yeah.
To be able to do that work.
So see that.
So, but again, more... that's kind of destiny, but through different means. It's destiny, but you have to put more work into it.
You know? I think how I look at it is everybody has this potential to do something extraordinary with their lives. I think everybody is very unique and has unique skills, and I think most cases people have some value that they can deliver to the world.
But I believe that's true. But does that apply to everything? Like, do you have incredible potential to do incredible things in many things?
I think,
or do you have incredible potential to do one thing that was made for you?
I think what it is your incredible potential to do something that will make you incredibly happy. I think that will translate to success, right?
Yeah, something. But then I guess that frame of mind would go back to just choose anything and put the time. Doesn't matter what you choose.
I think true. Yeah. Well, I think definitely part of it is choose something, but if it doesn't work out, choose something else.
But does it not work out because you didn't continue to try to make it work out? You know, I think that's the whole idea.
I think that's something you don't think about these things. I think you'll know. I think just like, I think this is one of the things in life where it's, you'll know if you want to keep on going, you're like, it's going to be worth it to you. In your head, you're like, no, there's going to be some invisible force that's me. No, it's worth it to me.
But do we just tell ourselves that to kind of, you know, because let's say,
that's a great point.
Because, you know, yeah. I mean, that's a good point, but, you know, I could understand, you know, when I tell myself, it's like, you'll know, that kind of, you know, I guess in another way, like, puts the demons away. Because you're like, no, it's fine. You know,
yeah.
In 10 years from now, I'll be like, this was all I was supposed to do.
And to your point, like, you don't want to get in the mindset where you start.
But the thing is, you can trick yourself.
No, I know. But part of that is also, it's like, it's important to, because I think I just from hearing what kind of listening, what I just said is, you know, that can also be pretty dangerous, right? I think there is some sort of thing where in life you can choose a path of most resistance, right? There's two paths, you know, one of most resistance and one of least resistance, right? Least resistance being easier, more comfortable, you know, less suffering, less pain, but leads to more of a, you know, an appropriate outcome relative compared to a path that is, you know, more arduous, more, you know, hard, you know, more suffering, more painful, not as enjoyable most of the time.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But the outcome the outcome is appropriate with the amount of work you put in. Here's the important thing. There's no right or wrong path, right? There's just a path. No. It's everybody's different. You know, somebody can be extremely happy taking one path, but extremely miserable the other path, and that can happen to anybody. I think you have to be very aware with what would make me happy. Would it be worth it for me? Some people are not built like that. Some people are.
But again, to me, what I understand from that is, again, it doesn't matter what you do. Just do whatever and cultivate a mind that you're happy in, you know? That's the confusing. Well, that's the other thing, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, it's like it's all about mindset. So that means you could have the most fulfilling life as, you know, some job that you would probably think is terrible, you know?
Yeah.
It's your mindset that's to blame. You know, so I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, it's so confusing.
Yeah.
And I think it get very overwhelming. That's why just very,
we can't think about it that much. It's just fun to think about. By the end of the day, you just got to go through life.
It's not fun to think about.
No, it's not.
It's not enjoyable at all.
Well, no, I just comfort myself when we kind of, by saying, you know, as long as you do your best and every decision you make, most of them, at least, you know that you're trying, and whenever you inevitably do a mistake, you acknowledge it and you acknowledge you're not perfect and you try to, you know, inch towards a person where you'd be happy, you know.
Yeah, I guess that is a good point. Like, you know, let's say, you know, that's a good point. I didn't think of it, but that, yeah, let's say, you know, you go through life and moments before your death, you realize that there's no happiness.
Yeah.
You're not happy at all. You know, you every day of your life, you like literally did the worst. Every morning, wake up at 3 a.m. 3 a.m. every single morning, every day. You know, you did everything in every day that to most people is a living hell. Yeah. You know, because you tried so hard.
Yeah.
And let's say moments before your death, you realize that everything you believed in, you know, that all this hard work would lead to happiness was not true. Let's say you realize all of that was not true.
Sure.
It just meant that, you know, every day was a struggle. You cried a lot, you fell apart a lot, you know,
but let's say,
yeah, it's just stress, just, you know, just hard, just terrible, you know? And let's say none of that led to anything at all.
Yeah.
Let's say right before the moment you die, you realize that. I still think you would have rather lived that way than sit and do nothing your entire life.
That's a good point.
Let's say at the end, there really is no reward, zero of waking up every morning, doing, you know, I mean,
doing everything right, you know,
yeah,
by the book,
doing everything right, but the hard things, you know, which I think, you know, anything that's right usually is very hard.
Sure.
You know, and let's say there was no reward, you know, like the whole spirituality, the whole God, the whole, you will be rewarded, you know, you will attract positive energy. Let's say all that was a lie.
Sure.
All that was fake.
Sure.
And then you died with no reward. I think your last moments
would still be,
you won't be happy, but at least you'd be like, you know what? I'd much rather have lived a life where I toiled day and night, every day. And it was terrible and it was sad and it was distraught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather have lived that way than to have gone to work every day, 9 to 5, come back home, eat pizza, watch TV until I fall asleep on the couch, wake up a few minutes before work.
I think it's all, what's that, the old adage, right? I'd rather have tried and failed than never tried at all.
Yeah.
Right.
But the whole point is, like, no, but I think what I'm getting at is, what would you do if there was no success? If there was no chance of success? If you could not succeed?
I think,
let's say I told you, you know, Constantine, something, I don't know, something, in this situation, it's impossible for you to win. Impossible. Yeah. You always fail. You will never get the satisfaction. Would you still, knowing that from the beginning, would you still want to live a life where you tried your hardest anyway,
well, you know,
knowing you can never succeed? Or you just like gave up and then you got the same end?
I think you're talking about the glass ceiling here. And I'm not the one, you know, woman. You know, we think about that for most of, you know, our history, they had this glass ceiling where it was kind of like, no matter whatever you wanted to do, you had this glass ceiling where you couldn't get past her. So you think about the women that were spearheads, and even if everything was against them, they still tried, and inevitably they succeeded, right? So I think, yes, I think that would have to prove to something. I think if that's to prove,
but there was success at the end, right?
Well, I get.
I'm not saying that's wrong. Obviously, I'm saying what you're saying is totally right.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know. I just, the idea I had is like, what happened if there was just no success at the end?
I am sure that
and no possibility.
I'm sure there's stories of people that that, and that's probably very sad stories, right? People that did everything right, you know,
and
then still, because of, you know, society and how cruel it can be sometimes, they just kept on getting trampled. And I'm sure, I know there's stories like that
way.
And died that way.
But do you think those people are like, I'm glad I did that?
I think there are two things.
Or do you think, like, what was it
all for? First thing, I think their legacy is...
Well, let's say we don't even know anything about them. I'm sure there's...
I think they're kids. Sure.
Kids. Yeah.
Imagine what kind
of... But I'm sure there's millions of people like that we'll never hear about.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
That went through that. They died.
I think the people closest around you, that's important, right?
So is that why you do it? Does that to them make it worth it? I had a terrible life, but you know what? My kids saw that. you know?
I think part of it's important. I think part of life, I think, that can make it exciting and worthwhile is what's the impact that you potentially can leave?
And life sounds awful.
I'm still pretty excited about it. I don't know about you.
Well, I thought it was a great conversation.
It was great.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, bro, for that.
I think that's a good end to it.
Yeah.
Unless you had anything.
No, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, I liked, I thought it was nice to just get to talk, not so much have structure like we tried in the last few episodes, where I didn't feel, well, again, you know, it's one of those things that... Still trying to figure out.
Just got but I think thank you so much for this talk, bro. I hope you, the viewers out there, enjoyed it. Love to hear any thoughts or comments. I think that's it for today, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, have I don't know. You know, I don't know. have a good day.
Have a great day.
Obviously, have a good day.
Have a great day. Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.